All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1120 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, May 26th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy or support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. You can always just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, aloha and welcome to the Ohana. And of course, that means family here in Hawaii. All of you that are tuning in now, thanks for checking the show out for the very first time as well. But I got a great show lined up for you today. It's kind of weird weather here in Honolulu. We are already into, you know, really prime summertime weather. And it's been raining the last couple of days, which don't get me wrong. I'm applauding because it means less sprinkling here at the studio. So the humidity gets knocked off and then late afternoon showers, nice cool evenings. The night jasmine is flourishing. So I get some, I guess better for a better word, wafts of it coming in the window, kind of hit me in the face, and it smells, oh, smells so good. And so absolutely thrilled to be with you tonight. And I got a great show lined up for you. And again, a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. And if you're brand new to the show, it's real easy. Let's get you connected with the show by going over to geeknewscentral.com. You're going to find links on the right-hand column of the website to get subscribed to. So really, whether you're an Android user, iTunes user, whether you are live and die by email, whether you're on Google Play, Stitcher, however you want to consume the show, we've got a way for you to do it. And you got to just click a link and we'll get you hooked up. Of course, we've got subscribe options right on the main page too. So you'll be able to pick one of those options to be able to subscribe right within the actual show notes. Don't forget to go a little further down the page. There's a link to the newsletter. The newsletter is basically, I send out an email with all the show notes immediately following the podcast. It has everything I'm going to talk about today, all the links to all the major programs. But get subscribed to the show and the newsletter. That way you'll never miss a single episode. You can email me here directly at the show, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Geek News. I'm on all the social media sites, Google+, Facebook, really any place that you are, I am. And you can watch the show on the... On Blueberry.com, on the Roku with the Tech Podcast, on the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo. You can listen on Stitcher. And, of course, right on your device, right on GeekNewsCentral.com if you so desire. Hey, our partner shows got a great lineup of shows here. Of course, some of them are also sites. We got the Pro Gear site at ProGear.Guru. We got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. And obviously, he was talking about USB charger receptacles on his last show. And that's what the Gadget Professor does. He talks about all the cool gadgets you need to have for your house. Of course, Mr. Jamie Davis with the Health Tech Weekly. And talking about everything that's going on in the health tech side. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. And they talked about the Google I.O. Event, and they reviewed that. So lots of good stuff on the website. We want you all connected here. And, of course, we do this show live on live.geeknewscentral.com. If you're watching on Facebook, we think the audio is better. At least that's the feedback we're getting. They've tweaked something over there, so that's good. Maybe you don't have to go off. I am not watching the Facebook feed, so if you're leaving comments, I'll respond to you after the show. We want you to, of course, share and let people know that the show is live. Most people are asleep at this time of day, but it doesn't matter what time you're catching the show. We appreciate you being here. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest continuous running sponsor of any podcast known to man. It's a deserving of a Guinness Book World Record. And of course, that's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And, you know, GoDaddy's been here from the very, 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 well, nearly beginning, July of 2005. They came on as a sponsor of the show. And I'm be straight with you guys. I just checked before we started the show, and the number of folks that are taking advantage of GoDaddy offers this month is way up, way up, way up. I'm really excited. Comes at a good time. And again, for those of you that are supporting a sponsor here on the show, man, thank you so much. It really, you know, I'm humbled every time. You know, we get close to the end of the month. We've had a few months have been worried, and there was really no reason to worry. But yeah, we're doing good for the month of May, and expecting a banner month. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. But anyway, all of you that have been picking up the deals over there, you know, it's easy. You just you get on the website. And you can just scroll down the website and click on the GoDaddy banner on the website, and that'll take you straight there. Or you go over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. All the codes, all the deals, and ongoing deals, 30% off of new products, 99cent.com, newer transfer domain. You can get any type of website you want, whether it be a managed WordPress hosting, whether it be just a regular hosting site, whether it be their fantastic website builder for business owners. Just starts at $1 a month for the first 12 months. Always make sure you look at what that price is going to revert to after 12 months. But with all those hosting plans, you get a free domain. And check out all the details. Look through the product offerings. Find the thing that matches the most. And get online. You know, come on. Let's join the party here. And get excited and write or talk about something. Start a podcast. I really want you to be part of the overall HANA and contributing to content topics. And if you know, if you have taken my advice over the past year and you've started your own podcast, please, 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 you need to email me and tell me so I can take a look and we can promote it to the audience here. So definitely check all those offers out. Again, at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy and join the party. And of course, thank you to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. Of course, we do have, from time to time, offers on the website. I've been getting hit a lot, and it's kind of funny. A specific company that we approached, and I'm just going to share this with you, because well, frankly, I was a little irritated. We approached a major company that I'm a big fan of, and said, hey, I use a lot of your products and services. I'm shopping on your website once a month. Talk about the different things that, you know, and it was a perfect tech fit. And they really, at that time, they really didn't even give me the time of the day. Well, because my GoDaddy sponsorship is run through a specific site, I think that the vendors that are on that platform can see the type of earnings. I don't know if they get to see the actual earnings, but there's some sort of indicator on there of what type of performance you're doing. And we've had great performance. You know, like I said, been doing real well. So I got an email today from their manager and said, hey, we'd like to have you... you know, put some banners for our product up on your site, and we got a great Memorial Day sale coming, and, you know, we're going to give you an extra 2%. Wow, really, really generous. Another 2% on conversions and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, No, I don't work that way. Things that are on the website specifically are, you know, supported through custom deals. And you're given an opportunity before, and now you want me on the cheap. You basically, you know, want to throw some peanuts at me, and it's not going to happen. And I sent him the minimum sponsor amount for the show on a monthly basis, and he about fell over himself. And he's like, you know, who do you think you are? And I'm like, well, you want on the show. That's what it costs to be on the show and be on the site. And so I, you know, poor guy, he probably had no clue who the hell, you know, that we'd had previous conversations or anything. But what is happening today? And it's a pet peeve of mine, and I'll get into, and I should, probably shouldn't even go into this, but what happens is companies today want to pay people in peanuts or a cup of coffee. You know, they want you to be a spokesperson and support and promote their product, and they want you to do that for nothing. And so many content creators today are selling themselves out for a cup of coffee. Now, you have to earn your keep. If you know, just like my sponsor of this show, I have to earn my keep and bring new customers to that client every month. You know, and if I don't do that, well, that's going to have consequences. But so many of these folks just want to throw a few peanuts at you, and think that you're going to be, you know, willing to roll over and, you know, and go the extra mile. A guy that's on Facebook that I know well too, his name's Chris Voss. He's running into the same thing. Chris has got a huge following on Facebook and a variety of different places, and they want him to, like, you know, again, work for a cup of coffee. And it's like, and I get every day there's someone emailing me saying, hey, we want to write for your website. And it's just a ploy to put a sponsored post up on the website. And I have a little text document that I cut and paste, and I just reply, and I stuff that into the email, and I reply to every one of those folks and say, here's the base sponsorship rate if you want on the website. That's what it's going to cost you. And there's, you know, we employ no follow tags on hyperlinks and all this other stuff. And while I know you guys don't want me to dig too deep in the business on this, but companies are no longer, many, many companies are no longer willing to even consider test campaigns and that kind of stuff. And it's really sad. It really, really is. You know, GoDaddy would not be a sponsor here for as long as they have been, if this didn't work. You know, they would not be here. You know, let's be straight. So we've got a long history. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. But the company that sent me that email initially, kind of like, you know, I was like, yeah, I wanted to, you know, flip them off, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's just kind of the behind the scenes stuff here that's happening. But my nose has been to the grindstone. The team has been weird. I mean, it's close. We're bug fixing right now. Ready to roll out some new products. Excited about that. My kids are all out of school. Of course, Ray finished college, finished up a week and a half or so ago. Chris, my youngest, today was his last day of school. My wife works within the school system part-time, and tomorrow's her last day. So here in Hawaii, summer vacation is starting. So those activities. And with that, my son and I, my youngest son and I, we leave on Wednesday night to go to Michigan. We're going to go see my mom and sister, my nieces, and there's a graduation and graduation party and high school graduation. So I'll be in Michigan from June 2nd until the 7th. And then I'm back here straight through until Podcast Movement in Chicago, but after the 4th of July. But going to try to get some shows out for you while I'm in Michigan. We'll see what happens. It may not be traditional stuff, but I just wanted to let you know that. But anyway, that's what's going on here. And I'll be honest with you, the office is a wreck. I got the eyeball this afternoon. So there will be a deep clean here that happens probably tomorrow, but or maybe Saturday. But I hope everybody's going to enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. Be safe out there. You know, it's the first weekend where we're really going to kick it. So if you're having a few cocktails, please be safe. Have a designated driver. And I want you all back here with me after the weekend. And don't forget what this weekend stands for. And you're going to see flags and cemeteries and parades with Boy Scouts and with military service members and so forth. And don't be afraid to go up and just give them a pat on the back and say thank you for your service. And they may be embarrassed, but it's a long lasting and it carries a lot of weight with people. So anyway, that's what's going this weekend. So let me start off tonight straight into the tech stuff, talking about Google. Google put a whooping on Oracle. And following a two-week trial, a federal jury concluded Thursday at Google's Android operating... It basically concluded Thursday that Google's Android operating system does not infringe Oracle's own copyrights because its re-implementation of 37 Java APIs is protected by fair use. The verdict was reached after 3 days of deliberations. Oracle's already saying we're going to go and, you know, we're going to appeal. And U.S. District Judge William Alsup, who has overseen the litigation since 2010, gave thanks to the jury, and he went back to the jury room and shook their hand. He's probably glad to have this thing off his docket. But Google's lead lawyer, Robert Van Nest, those guys must have made a bunch of money. They're probably in-house counsel, I would expect, being Google what they are. But he said, that's it. We're happy with the results. Oracle's lawyers had no comment. So, Google did say in investment that its victory was good for everybody. Today's verdict that Android makes fair use of Java API represents a win for the Android ecosystem, for the Java programming community, and for software developers who rely on an open and free programming language to build innovative consumer products, a Google spokesperson said via email. Now, not going to go into the full details of the nitty-gritty of this whole thing. But, you know, Google just escaped a $9 billion damage fee. So Oracle's got some challenges probably ahead, with Java being kind of on the decline a little bit. You know, there's still plenty of use cases, but it is definitely, you know, this is a this is good for devs all over the place. It's not, you see, you can't make something open and then take it back later. It just doesn't work that way. But, and again, it's a big, big win here. So, but it'll be on appeal for the next 3 years. So we'll see. Do y'all remember Prenda? We talked about Prenda on this show a lot. And, you know, they have become quite the, for a better word, the laughing stock of the space. They're despised and hated. You know, for years, Prenda Law extracted millions of dollars in cash settlements from alleged BitTorrent pirates. And they left a lot of misery in their wake. They were not at all cared for. Now, the company is no more. But, you know, they had all kinds of shenanigans. People saying they worked for him and didn't work for him, and a proxy lawyer and all kinds of minutia. And really, over the past 10 years, very few companies have gained as much scorn as Prenda Law. Now, Prenda and its principals, John Steele, Paul Hansmeier, and Paul Duffy, you've had a lot of stories written about them. Well, The FBI, accordingly, is still digging. And they even went and talked to the Pirate Bay founders, because it appears Prenda was running a honeypot and actually trying to get people to grab these media files and download them, and you know, and then using that against it. It was a big, big mess. But so appears that the FBI is close, and they've been looking at some additional companies as well. LW Systems, Livewire Holdings, Guava LLC, and apparently the FBI has devoted substantial resources to soliciting victim impact in a systematic way, and based on its questions about availability to testify, is contemplating prosecution. So, wow. By contacting Prenda's victims, some folks believe the FBI is attempting to establish an amount of damages to claim, which could be substantial. Whether or not they'll get that ever, who knows. But, boy, wouldn't it be nice to see these guys put in handcuffs, and it'd be wonderful for the FBI to kick their doors in and haul these guys off to jail, and then put them in front of a judge and jury, and go after every asset they had for the shakedowns that they did, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll have some more exciting, juicy stuff to talk about Prenda Law in the coming days. There's an article over in Time, New York Times, and this will probably set on some of you one way or the other, but it's about Snowden. And the title of this is Whistleblower Beware. Should it be a crime to report a crime? And of course, most top officials in Washington, D.C. seem to think so, at least in the case with Edward Snowden. And outraged by the assault, you know, there's been a lot of things that have happened. You know, the assault on the Fourth Amendment, there's been a lot of stuff that have happened on both the Republican and Democrat side to block the reauthorization of the U.S. Patriot Act, and make the, you know, some of these law enforcement and government agencies do things, you know, through court systems. But there is no love lost for someone like Snowden, who released all this stuff. President Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, now presidential candidate, had been unyielding as well, saying that Snowden's a traitor and he needs to be brought back to the United States and held for justice. And that goes across most of the senators in the House and Senate. But there's a little bit of a story that most people probably don't know. In 2007, a gentleman went through the proper channels to whistleblow on something he felt was not right. And that guy today is working in an Apple store. And he was run through the ringer for about 4 years for doing what he did. You know, the government is very, very sensitive to anything that can jeopardize national security. When you sign an agreement saying that you keep your mouth shut about stuff, they expect you to keep your mouth shut about it. And it's very obvious that, you know, if they could get their hands on Snowden, they'd put him in jail for a long, long time. But it just basically, this New York Times article says, if you're going to whistleblow, whether it be public or private, you're going to have your hands full. So it's like you know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, even if you go through the right channels. So, and many of you say, well, that's not fair. And I guess, for a better word, that's just the way it is. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, on one hand, you want to whistleblow. On the other hand, you know, you're that guy's a traitor. You know, what's the trade-off? What's the difference? You know, I don't know. All I know is those folks probably wish they'd kept their mouth shut. Snowden, no, he doesn't care. He's just a puppet in Russia right now. So anyway, link will be up for you to take a look. Hey, big, big news. And I think many of you have heard about this, but new food labels are coming out in a year or two. The food industry is not happy because in a year or two, a 20-ounce Pepsi will have to say it contains 130% of your daily value of added sugars. And that's the key word, added sugars. Yogurts will have to call out their added sugar. So we can't kid ourselves that it all comes from fruit. Food companies fought the change, but they have lost. The sugar industry, huge, lost. But the FDA's new labels are about health, not about getting the right answer on a chemistry quiz. But at the same time, they're already looking at ways they think that the food folks are going to kind of try to circumvent some of these new rules on what's going to go on the labels. Because many of you are going to pick stuff up, and including me, pick stuff up that we picked up for years and turn it around, and it's going to say a single serving of something is giving me 500% of my daily. And you're going to be like, what? So in the end, what we may end up with, the key word here is may, we may end up with healthier choices. And of course, will those healthier choices taste as good? I love sugar as much as the next person, but let's be honest, processed foods and that kind of stuff, man, it is just super loaded. Now, sugars aren't single-handedly responsible for making us all fat, but if we can avoid added sugars, I bet you if we could all just get rid of if we could eliminate added sugars from our diet, I think we'd all lose 30 pounds, to be honest with you. So some of these labels are probably going to scare people a lot. And I'm sure we're going to see more about this, but I thought I would share it with you. And we'll see what the food industry does to change the impact and reformulating the food that we're used to buying now. So it'd be a curious thing to watch. All right, PGP co-founder has rejoined Apple to bring better encryption to the masses. John Calas, it's his third stint at Apple. So this is a curiosity here on why he's back and what role he's going to be playing. But according to his LinkedIn profile, he said he was to be in a personal stealth mode, and he definitely is not in a silent stealth mode. He's working at Apple on some secret project. So we'll see here. And of course, he's a fervent advocate of cryptography and strong encryption. And he spent most of adult life protecting users from hackers and governments. And we'll see. But anyway, the PGP co-founder is at Apple. So Apple sounds like they're stepping up their game a little bit, yeah? Okay, this weekend, deals. Especially if you're a veteran or an active duty military person, there's going to be deals all over the place. Furniture, this is the weekend that they know that you've gotten your refund check back. Here in Hawaii, not. But there are definitely going to be some great shopping deals out there on beds and furniture and that kind of stuff. But Engadget's got a link to some 20% off deals, whether it be a Samsung Smart Hub, whether it be a Sonos speaker, backpacks, card readers, you name it. There's some good deals and available at thewirecutter.com. But anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes. So keep your eyes peeled this weekend when you're on Amazon and a variety of other services. So I've got in my hands here a Samsung Galaxy S7. The folks at AT&T sent one of these over to review it. And I'll have to be honest with you. I booted it up, and the previous reviewer factory set it wrong. And I need his email and password to be able to open the phone, even though it's supposedly been completely cleaned out. I've even done a factory reset on it with booting it up. I'm locked out of this thing. It's beautiful on the outside. It's got a nice curved screen on the edges. They sent me a gold finished one. It's light. It's much thinner than the S6, but I can't even get in. So I'm sure my AT&T rep in the morning, it's the Edge, in the morning will be sending me some instructions. But as of right now, this bad boy is locked out. Maybe I'll have to go back to him. I don't know. And I'm also looking at this, and there's really, it's self-contained. It's not like the S6. So you can't pop the lid. Nope. So maybe there's a button I have to push somewhere. Who knows? But they'll let me know tomorrow. I've got another one I'm testing too. I'll talk about that on the next show. All right. Comcast has lost a Oregon tax ruling. They were trying to get, basically Oregon Senate had put in some provisions for companies that were going to come in with one gig fiber, trying to entice Google Fiber to come to Portland. And essentially Comcast said, oh, we can offer a 2 gig connection, but it was like $5,000 a year. And the state legislatures did not put provisions in and how much it would cost and, you know, for to get the tax break. But as of right now, Comcast is going to have to pay the tax this year. They're not going to get a pass. But they sure are trying. But it's when legislatures don't word their bills carefully, companies get out from paying the money they should be paying and putting dollars back into city and state coffers. I don't know what it is with Windows 10 and this Nagware thing that they're doing. It's still continuing. But check this out. Did you know when that little Windows 10, if you got a Windows 7 machine or, you know, whatever version you have, that little Windows 10 Nagware that comes up at the bottom of your screen, when you click X, that's basically, they say that is not saying no, that is acknowledging the dialogue. You have to still go in and basically tell it you do not want the auto update. You have to go into auto update and shut that off to stop Windows 10 from, you know, trying to force itself upon you. So, you know, Microsoft, man, they're working it hard to get people to upgrade. You know, I would upgrade every machine I had if I could, but I got some machines that won't run Windows 10. You know, there's not drivers for some of my laptops. So that Nagware and the concern that all of a sudden they're going to push Windows 10 upon me has me totally freaked out. And as much as they've been doing to try to force it upon everyone, and some of you have gotten Windows 10 updates you didn't want it, I don't think they've won themselves any favors here. People that want it will have updated, and people that don't want it have not. Even though it's going to turn paid here shortly, who cares? We've said no, 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 no. Solar Impulse has made it to Pennsylvania. So overnight, they safely touched down in Lehigh Valley International Airport in Pennsylvania. That's another 650 miles ticked off its bid to circumvent the globe using only solar energy. The flight took 17 hours. And the next leg is a very short one. Solar Impulse will head towards New York City. From there, it will cross the Atlantic to enter either Europe or North Africa. And then finally head for Abu Dhabi, where it all started. So last little chance here, if you're on the East Coast and you're in Pennsylvania, you may want to get in the car in the morning and see if, because they're going to have stuff open. You'll be able to get tours of this thing. But they're going to, next flight will be by the Statue of Liberty, and it's a big press thing. I don't know where they're going to land in New York. They won't go. I really don't think they'll go to one of the major airports. They'll probably go outside of the city a little bit because this thing just really messes with air traffic control in a big way. It's so slow. It can't get out of the way very quick, and they need clean air and a whole bunch of different things. So we'll see where they go when they go into New York, and where they're going to park this thing. The FCC is formalizing massive fines for selling and using cell phone jammers. They've applied a $34.9 million fine to a Chinese company. Good luck getting the money on that. And a $48,000 fine to a Florida reseller that sold these for a couple of years. So, next article, what is it with people and selfies and taking selfies in dangerous places? You know, they're doing stupid things. They've caused damage to priceless works of art. They've shot themselves. In China, some guy decided in a zoo, yes, in doing a selfie with an animal, specifically a walrus. Okay. You guys know what a walrus is, right? Yeah. So he took some video and some post with the, you know, right beside the walrus. How he could get next to it, I don't know. But apparently the walrus had had enough. So it grabbed the man from the back and threw him into the pool. Well, the dude drowned. But get this, the zookeeper jumped in to get him. And the zookeeper drowned too. So, two folks died because some dude was taking a selfie. You know, you're beside an animal taking a picture, you know. Come on. It's one thing to take a picture by your cat or a dog, but a walrus or a tiger, you know, how about a bear? Yeah. Oh, my. You know, you feel sorry for these people, but, you know, you can't fix stupid. You really can't. You can't fix stupid. It's just, it's amazing what people do. You know, as I'm talking with my, you know, my youngest son. He's at his age. He's, you know, he does stuff. He feels like he's invincible. He likes doing a little bit of acrobatic stuff. And, you know, there isn't a post anywhere that he doesn't try to push himself over. And we're having these discussions about doing stupid stuff. I'm trying to, you know, save the young man some pain or a trip to the hospital or worse. I'm like, Chris, you need to slow down and think about things you're doing. Of course, at 12, you don't think about nothing. You're just having fun, right? And especially on this upcoming trip, you know, mom and dad's not going to be there. Grandma and my sister, you know, they're all going to be there, but he's going to be in the country. It's just a little different situation, right? We're going into a different environment that he's not used to. So I'm going to, where there's ATVs and that type. And I've actually basically told my sister no ATV riding. And it's because her kids grew up on him and have been riding him, and they, you know, they know how to handle him. He's going to see what the cousins are doing, and things will get sideways and upside down. You know, it's just, you know, dad's being a little bit protective, but at the same time, boys will be boys, right? So in trying to have this discussion with this, you know, with a 12-year-old about, you know, protecting himself, and then you have people that are taking pictures of selfies with a walrus. I just, maybe their father should have had discussions with them too, right? Unbelievable. Hey, GoDaddy's launches Flare. It's a community app for sharing and rating business ideas. So if you have an idea, you submit it to Flare, then it's kind of like or hate. You basically see the idea, they talk about the discussion, and you can flip it. Yes, if you agree, right? Or, you know, basically, there's a way to rate the idea, and those ideas that get a lot of yeses, they then grow into a discussion area where people talk about ideas. If you've got a really good, you know, I applaud GoDaddy for doing this, but let's be honest. A good business idea is very, very valuable. If you have something unique, you know, my suggestion is that you talk this over with a few close confidence friends, you know, and you know, be careful who you share everything you do with, because the next thing you know, someone's doing it before you in the same town you live in or same community, and it might be a billion-dollar idea. So if it's talking about opening a daycare at a gym or something like that, that's a smart, you know, that's something you can add to a business. But I don't know if I'd be talking new business ideas completely in the open. Of course, you know, what am I to say? I had a business. We launched it from this show, right? Reached out to the audience members and said, I'm looking for a programmer. I'm looking for a dev. I'm looking for a business guy. I'm looking for a lawyer. And we found those people on this show, which formed Raw Voice. So, you know, who am I to talk, I guess, right? According to scientists, Mars is coming out of an ice age. And they're saying that certain parts of Mars are warming up a little bit. Okay. I guess so. Using some radar and so forth, they've been able to tell a few things. What some folks are actually suggesting is that we nuke the north and south poles of Mars and release all this CO2 that's locked up and cause the planet to warm up. Now, I'm sure that would be real effective in our lifetime, and I'm sure that will never happen. But they're saying if it's time to terraform Mars, now is the time. I think we got to figure out how to get there first, right? Here in the United States right now, there is a huge, huge opioid, basically a lot of people addicted to opioids, drugs, be Oxycontin, Vicodin, heroin. There's a huge, huge, huge issue, and it's growing in the United States. But the Food and Drug Administration has approved something called Propofene. It's the first implantable drug for treatment of opioid dependence. Now, this is so widespread that I absolutely guarantee that there are people that listen to this show right now. They have family members or a good friend who have some challenges with opioids. And this particular administration, and it's kind of put in like the, some girls get for birth control. It's like a little stick, and it's put underneath the skin, and they provide ongoing treatment for 6 months. And for folks that are, you know, trying to, or, you know, basically in rehab and trying to stay clean, this is guarantees that they get a constant, right dosage of this medication. And it can't be, this drug cannot be resold on the street, which is good too, because it's embedded in their arm. Of course, you know, people have known to do crazy things when they really get desperate as well. But, so there's, according to this article, there's about 2 million people in the United States are addicted to prescription opioid pain relievers. And I'm going to be honest, having, been, you know, I was treated with oxycodone and Oxycontin when I got hurt in 2004. It really was not a good experience for me, and I never, ever want to ever use that pain medicine ever again. It made me mean, and I wasn't addicted to it at all. But I tell you, when I went off, I've told the story many times that my wife was basically had enough of me being grumpy, and I was already 6 weeks into my back recovery. And when I went cold turkey on this, I had a couple of rough days. It wasn't fun coming off the prescription. And when I told my doctor, he blambasted me for, you know, doing that, because he was going to step me down off the dosage level I was on, because I had gotten hurt pretty bad and was, you know, initially in an incredible amount of pain. They do their job, but I'm going to tell you what, it's some nasty stuff. I never had a desire to go back onto the medicine, and I don't fully understand the whole how people get addicted to it. I really don't. But again, my experience with the with those products were horrible. So other people have other results, obviously. But anyway, this is good. We're coming up with new tools to help these people that are suffering. All right, there's a very interesting story out, and I probably don't have time to go as deep into it as I want. But Peter Thiel is he's one of these guys that's got like $200 billion. He was a co-founder of PayPal. He invested a whole bunch of money in Facebook. You know, this dude is a real smart VC. And a number of years ago, Gawker.com had basically outed him before he was kind of publicly out for being gay. And Peter, as the story goes, and what he's saying himself, is that Gawker had talked about a lot of his friends and caused a lot of pain to a lot of people. And in his, you can imagine, folks that are basically not completely out, or people that are not at all out, being outed like that can cause, lots of stress and impact. And so he's been pissed at Gawker for years. And Hulk Hogan, who recently won $140-some million judgment against Gawker because of an adult video. His defense, or his legal fees, were paid by Peter Thiel. So Peter Thiel essentially bankrolled Hulk Hogan's lawsuit against Gawker, which may take Gawker out. And the news wires today have been exploding about this. They're like, oh my God, and is nothing illegal for you to pay for someone else's legal fees in any type of case? You can, you know, there's no law against this. But apparently Peter had hired a law firm to, for a better word, shop for a victim. And then get that victim to agree to the lawsuit, and then go after all their money. Agree or disagree, there's nothing illegal about this, but a lot of people on the legal side, or eyeballs are a little bit wide, and it's starting a new discussion. So Gawker I'm not a fan of Gawker myself, based upon some of the stuff that they have done over the years. And apparently Peter Thiel spent $10 million, a minimum of $10 million, to fund the litigation against the company. And this is huge, 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 huge. And long story short here, these guys in Silicon Valley who have a lot of cash, they can cause a lot of discomfort for a company. He says he doesn't have a grudge, but his friends were hurt and emotionally damaged, and he wanted, Gawker to pay. That sounds like revenge to me. It will apparently have very little to do with the case. It may, obviously affect things in the appeals decision a little bit, but it shouldn't. So it is rumored, because of this $140 million invasion of privacy suit that Hulk Hogan won, is that Gawker may be talking with some investment folks, and maybe they're looking for an out. Maybe they're looking for a way to sell the company. Now, here's something that I didn't know. Oftentimes in these type of lawsuits, there's a clause that allows the insurance company to settle. In this specific lawsuit, they explicitly said that they would not accept the insurance company's offers. They wrote that out, said that's not accepted. So he was really going for blood, going deep, says he didn't want the insurance company to be able to bail them out and them to continue. So it's a big story. It's been all over the webs here for the last 24 hours, but the link will be up in the show notes for you. Today, you know, I've got a bunch of medical stuff I'm sharing with you guys, and the reason I am is because, you know, as this show has evolved, tech comes in many forms, science comes in many forms. It's not just a purely a tech show. It's a geek show. And I want to raise awareness to you of some things that are out there. Antibiotic overutilization is very dangerous, and it has serious consequences. Earlier this month, a frightening report warned of an antibiotic-resistant superbug, which could kill as many 10 million people worldwide by 2050. There's a case of it here in the United States. According to a study published today by the American Society for Microbiology, a 49-year-old Pennsylvania woman had a strain of E. coli that did not respond to the antibiotic colistin, C-O-L-I-S-T-I. Now, colistin, that is like the super drug. That is your last resort. That is the drug that they use when nothing else works. It's a last resort for treating particular stubborn infections. This type of colistin-resistant E. coli has been found in several other countries, namely in the intestines of hogs, pigs, but this is the first time it's been seen in the United States. The CDC is investigating the source of the superbug. Now, there are alternatives to antibiotics like strains of predatory bacteria that are being tested by DARPA. Surprisingly, more powerful superbugs are out there, but it is widely agreed among experts that the antibiotic apocalypse is impending. Sally Davis, chief medical officer for England, wrote in a recent report warning of antibiotic-resistant superbugs, the golden age of antibiotics, which the world has taken for granted for all over 50 years, has ended. It basically shows that the end of the road isn't very far away for antibiotics, that we may be in a situation where patients under intensive care units or patients getting urinary tract infections for which we do not have antibiotics. This is scary. Scary, scary, scary stuff. And oftentimes, doctors will prescribe an antibiotic when you don't need one, because it's easier to get you in and out of the office. So I implore upon all of you, you go to the doctor sick, you know, don't beg for antibiotics in the beginning. The least number of antibiotics that you take, the better. If you have a natural cold, something that doesn't need if you don't have a bacterial infection, you know, stay away from them. Don't take medicines that are in your pantry just because you can take them. You will build up a resistance. And unfortunately, you get exposed to something like this, you're screwed. You're going to die because this is not, there's nothing that can fix this. So just be careful out there when you're handling stuff, cooking food completely. Proper hand washing during, you know, touching raw meat. Got a cut on your hand. Put some plastic gloves on handling that meat. I'm not saying that this is the CDC suggestion. I'm not saying that at all. But let's be careful out there, okay, as we move forward here. This could turn into something very, very crazy. And my doctor friends out there, love to hear from you. I know we've got a bunch. So let's hear from you. Hey, PayPal bids goodbye to Microsoft and Amazon Kindle Fire 2. So no more PayPal app on the Kindle Fire or on Microsoft phones. Should not come as a surprise at all. In France, this is insane. It's now illegal to email employees after work hours. Wow. So employers cannot email their workers after hours. What's the fine to do so? The catch is that, oh, there is a catch. The catch is only that employees that work in a company with 50 or more workers are covered by this law, which means if you work at a cafe with just 10, you can't really do much should your employer decide to bombard you with emails. So if you work in a bigger company, though, you can't. Wow. Can you imagine that here in the U.S.? All right. A new law would let the FBI read your email without a court order. A new Senate bill would let the FBI and other law enforcement agency access the contents of any U.S. citizen's email without a court order during investigations. Instead, the FBI would just need a national security letter, which would force companies to provide email access to the agency without alerting the person who's being investigated. The FBI can already access phone records without a court order, but that doesn't apply to email conversations. The Senate Intelligence Committee approved the 2007 Intelligence Authorization Act on Tuesday. The bill will head to the full Senate now that it's passed the committee. So be aware that this is in a moving target right now. Fortunately, not all senators on the committee agree. This bill takes a hatchet to important protections for American liberty, Senator Ron Wyden said in a statement. So be aware. Also, a Tesla Model S on autopilot crashed into a parked van on a highway. Smashed the car up pretty good. The video's been taken down, but some folks got just a little bit of the video in a GIF. But Tesla had a specific warning about this type of a scenario. And the driver said, hey, the car slowed down all this time before. I was expecting to do the same. And he did not take control of the vehicle. But his vehicle smashed up pretty good. No one, I guess, got hurt. But yeah, a lot of damage to the vehicle because, and we're going to see some of this some more as well. I'm disappointed, and we have to be very careful here. The House budget bill has gutted net neutrality, kills FCC authority, all because the FCC dared to stand up to Comcast and AT&T. In this show, we've talked a few times that ever since the FCC passed net neutrality rules, loyal ISP politicians in the House and Senate have been engaged in a full court press to punish the agency for daring to stand up to big broadband ISPs. This involved an endless parade of taxpayer-funded hearings pretending to be about agency transparency and accountability, but are really just about publicly shaming the agency. This also involved a laundry list of bills attempting to thoroughly gut the FCC's funding and authority under the pretense of saving the country from a power-mad FCC. The not-so-subtle ballot continued this week when the House passed a new budget bill that would gut the FCC's 2017 budget by $69 million. It will stall the FCC's attempt to bring competition to the cable box and prevent the FCC from enforcing net neutrality violations until the industry's lawsuit is settled. In fact, like the previous bills, this new budget bill uses an absurd broad definition of rate regulation to effectively prevent the FCC from doing anything. The GOP proposal defined rate regulation so broadly that Chairman Wheeler says they would prevent the FCC from enforcing key net neutrality provisions and disrupt its process for reviewing mergers. The budget bill again uses a definition of rate regulation that goes far beyond the utility rate setting traditionally imposed on landline phone providers. The proposal would prevent the FCC from using its net neutrality rules to act against discriminatory data cap policies, among other things. This does not come with any surprise. We know that ISPs like AT&T and Comcast have started pushing usage caps harder. But at the same time, the House Appropriations Committee, the chair, Hal Rogers, and if he's in your district, pick your phones up, please. But of course, Rogers received $25,000 in campaign contributions during the current election cycle from the telecom industry. Should not come as any surprise. If we want net neutrality, freedom to pick our cable box, and a whole variety of other things to move forward, this type of malarkey needs to stop. So I'll work on getting a list of everyone that's on that committee. We'll get the Ohana here picking up the phones and screaming to their representatives. You need to do this. This is, you know, the net is very important, and we can't allow some of this stuff to go on. We really, really can't. Okay. I missed this earlier. I should have talked about it. The Solar Impulse pilot snapped another selfie. Yes, he had a selfie stick, stuck it out the airplane, and shot it. So pretty cool. So I have that link up in the show notes. I wonder if he taped his phone to the selfie stick. I think I would. I don't think I would have trusted. Of course, he was only going 40 miles an hour, so it wasn't too windy. But, you know, that phone fall off right there in flight, and yeah, that would be the end of it. Oh, man. Funny stuff. And where am I at on time? Oh, I'm not going to get done. A Chinese startup is building the world's first bendable screen bracelet phone. So this is interesting. These look like mock-up pictures, but apparently that by 2018, they feel that they can have this ready for market. It's a bracelet phone, wraps around your wrists. So I don't know how many women would wear this. It kind of looks like a big bangle, I guess. But flexible curved screens are seen at trade shows all the time. But they haven't made a big splash yet, really. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. If we see this in a couple of years, I expect them, of course, to have something that becomes wearable. Many of you have devices in your cars to track how fast your kids are driving, braking, all that stuff. But there's an automated car connector kit that'll sync to your phone. And it basically gives you all the data about the performance of your vehicle. And it synchronizes again with your mobile device. It's available for $89.95. And again, it tracks fuel efficiency, driving habits, figures out what that warning light is trying to tell you by giving the code and the instead of having to pay the company $180 to do a diagnostics, you can go on there with the code already known and what it actually is. So that's something you can consider if you're a car nut and want to have that in your vehicle. Over on The Verge, did you know the DJI drones can now stream to Facebook? That's new. That's a big one. So maybe while I'm in Michigan, I'll use my drone to stream to Facebook. I'll keep you advised on that. And just like we're streaming right now, at least I think we are, to Facebook. There's a lot of trials going on in the United States. Six technology companies, including Google, are working on trial projects in multiple U.S. cities to test out shared 3.5 gigahertz spectrum wireless communications under an innovative model adopted recently by the FCC. Companies are working in a coalition that is tentatively being called the CBRS, Citizen Broadband Radio Service Alliance, which borrows the CBRS terminology from the FCC. And in April, Kansas City, Missouri approved a Google test of 3.5 gigs for up to 18 months. Ruckus Wireless is one of the six alliance members. So what really could happen here is if they get this working, this can really open up the ability for folks like my mom to have high-speed internet over longer distances. So excited to see where this goes over time on this 3.5 gigahertz 3.5 gigahertz band. You know, the federal government runs on a lot of outdated systems, but this one here is kind of scary. America's nuclear forces, including its intercontinental ballistic missiles, nuclear bombers, and tanker support aircraft, are coordinated using a 1970 era's IBM Series 1 mainframe computer that uses an 8-inch floppy drives. This is according to the GAO. Why are we using infrastructure that is at least 50 years old? They're not the only ones. Department of Treasury, Veteran Affairs, those of you that are veterans, get your veterans checks. It's all being powered by 50-year-old computers. Imagine that. Simply insane. Why haven't we replaced this stuff? I really don't get it. I really don't. Moving on, the next generation Apple TV is said to possibly be an Amazon Echo competitor, trying to make Siri useful. So apparently Apple development is developing a smart Bluetooth speaker similar to Amazon Echo. And I'm telling you, I got Alexa in my bedroom last night. I just lay down. I told Alexa to play me some jazz and turn off in 15 minutes, and she did. It's beautiful. Wonderful. Just, you know, don't have to touch no button, just talk to the device. Hey, Microsoft and Facebook have announced their plans to build a high-capacity data link between U.S. and Europe. They're going to put their own fiber in. So this is not the first time. Google's already done the Pacific, so now they're going to do an Atlantic run that will terminate somewhere in Spain, and will, on the other side, it's going to terminate in somewhere in Virginia. So, Google's putting their own fiber in. Hey, Blue Origin will intentionally crash its spaceship during its next test flight. Of course, we've seen them do some stuff with their capsule already, but this time they're going to do a single parachute failure. I don't know how many it normally lands with, but maybe we'll get to see some pyrotechnic video as it stabilizes it as it lands. So anyway, they're going to purposely invoke some sort of a failure. So we'll see what Blue Origin comes up with. We don't know when that's actually going to take place. No date yet, but they said that's what they're going to do. Hey, if you're a Reddit user, you may have had your password reset. They reset over 100,000 passwords. So just be aware of that. Hey, SpaceX was supposed to have a launch today. They're putting something in geosynchronous orbit. It got scrubbed, maybe back on for tomorrow morning. We'll keep you advised on that. But they're going to try to do landing 3 on the barge. This really, it's a very, very hard landing. So we'll see what happens. But SpaceX is on for another launch. We talked about the fire at the solar power plant. They're saying that the solar power plant will be offline for a couple of weeks. So that's what happens when you get some mirrors pointing the wrong way. It very quickly heats things up. It's like trying to use a magnifying glass on an ant. But instead, it's on the side of a building. Hey, NASA had a little problem trying to inflate the expandable beam module on the International Space Station. It only went out a little bit. So they're trying to figure out what's going on. We'll keep advised. NASA is supposed to have a press briefing tomorrow morning, but something is not quite right. If you're a Lenovo fan and you have bought some of their phones in the past, the new Droid is may have been outed. There may be a picture of it. I have that up for you here. The Verge has the backside of the potentially the new Lenovo Droid. So if you're a Lenovo fan, take a peek at these and give you an idea what we may be forthcoming. Twitter's going to serve up Spotify links as 30-second clips, so their audio cards are being pushed a little bit here. I guess if you're a music fan and you want to share something, that's how that's going to happen. You're going to put up a clip. You'll be able to sample on your Twitter stream. So that's a big deal, I guess. Delta in Atlanta built a more efficient TSA checkpoint, and of course we're all hearing about the TSA delays across the country. Give yourself extra time if you're going to be traveling. But Delta Airlines paid to install a pair of innovation lines at its hometown airport in Atlanta, making the design much better, and it really, I mean, it increased throughput, automated bin return, a whole bunch of stuff. Delta said it spent more than $1 million on the system, but much more efficient than the government TSA design lines, as you can imagine. You know, government equals efficiency. I don't think so. Check this out. New evidence suggests a fifth fundamental force of nature. We all know there are about the four fundamental forces of nature: gravity, electromagnetism, and the weak and strong forces between atoms. But they say there could be a fifth dimension. Some Hungarian scientists have come up with some cool stuff, so it's a little bit beyond my brain power to process. But they talk about some tests they've done, and they got something they weren't expecting, and it's been able to be replicated. And it's all about that black matter and trying to just, you know, figure out how come the universe is expanding faster and all that stuff. So they may have a little insight here. So we'll see. Hey, Google might start shaming companies that take too long to update their Android phones. I think this is great. Put them on a naughty list. Put them on a bad boy list, saying they've, you know, they're this many months or weeks behind. I think that would be absolutely awesome. Okay, finally tonight, I have to admit it's pretty cool. It's on Deadspin. It's a water bottle flip that is pretty amazing. I challenge any of you to try to do this and make it happen. The video, I'm just going to let you watch the video. You got to come to the show notes. It'll be the last link in the show notes. And this guy did something really cool. It's I wouldn't say it's impossible, but he had practiced a lot to, yes, it's a special water bottle flip. And what happens, I think you'll be impressed. All right, tonight on the show, I've got a few things that have come in via email. Let me load this. Let's see here. Am I on the right page? I've only got three email accounts open right now. So there we go. GNC comments. And then, I want to thank Randy. He had actually was the one that sent me the link to the Facebook and Microsoft laying the cable across the Atlantic. So, Randy, thanks so much for doing that. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. I got an email from Mike. Mike, your email, I had a hard time going through it. So I know you're just doing bullet points in making comments. So I'm going to try to go through this, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this stuff here for the Ohana. But he said, hey, how goes it, Todd? Believe it or not, this is the first time in knowing your name for what now more than a decade that I've listened to your program from front to back. So, Mike, you've been here for 10 years, man, you are like super Ohana. So thank you. Here's some random thoughts as I run through the variety of things as your program starts. Here we go. The show is on, but you're preparing. Is that a bit of a behind the scenes rather than you launching immediately? The show is on, but you're preparing. Is that a bit of the behind the scenes rather than you launching in immediately? I typically run the intro immediately, so maybe I'm not following. It says the Apollo 13 and other sound segments. I'm assuming that you've looked into the legalicity of all your usage for that. I'd like to offer to make your own Geek News centric version of that for you to use. Let's chat about. Love to. Hey, we take listener submissions all the time. So no, we've never had a problem with the audio. And some of it is definitely being voiced over by some folks too. So, clashing clothes, not really. In fact, those two colors, the orange / salmon and blue, are some of the most used colors in movie posters because of their tension drawing power. And yeah, he laughs. Running through the rabble of avenues, you are on all social media. You run through the slog of avenues, and I believe that you could be telling people we're available on every device and digital avenue you can imagine, along with a few haven't yet managed. Check out their website at webaddress.com to see how you can listen now, later, and whatever. So I guess you don't like me running through that. Is that my assumption here? Paying the bills. Do you typically roll 9 minutes in with GoDaddiness? Believe it or not, I'm a fan. Make sure that people know that the bills have to get paid somehow is a trend long missing inside of almost all podcasts. I don't think my GoDaddy ads run 9 minutes. but they usually start about 9 minutes. yeah, the bills do have to get paid, and this audience knows that, so I definitely appreciate it. He says, thank you for your legacy programs, and this is in reference to the podcast awards. The fact of this is that it's a long time coming. After winning 3 times would be more appropriate if you ask me. You need new blood in podcasting. Well, I like to listen to Leo. Him versus some of the other newer unfunded, unliving as a podcaster program would have no chance against Leo's program. Another option can be to take legacy winners and let them help choose or advise the judges on effective podcasting techniques, again, et cetera. Again, total kudos for making limits so that the juggernaut don't trounce all new blood, killing new thoughts, potential in business. Yeah, that's part of it. That's why we set the limit. yes, okay. I'll skip the personal note, but yeah, challenges here. Building a podcast warp site. Is there a team that's being developed to help guide this? I'd like to volunteer. I'd love to have you on. I'm building the list. I do have the company set up to be able to do it and a programmer. So I just got to build the statement of work. Segmenting your program. You shove the review note. You might put that and some of the other reviews you do in a segment inside your program. That's a good one. The 4K monitor. He said, I'd like to make a pact with someone, perhaps you, that would encourage people to blow up their station regularly, even if only to clean. Yeah, sometimes that's I agree too. Mentioning drinking water. Yeah, pet peeve of his. So I didn't do it today, did I? A total hat tilt. Your note about working long and then the program is terribly familiar. All of the two guys talking centric stuff is also done post work day at my podcast studio. 12 minutes of my 9 to 5. It's good to know that there are other workhorses on the ranch. Yes. So we're late here tonight doing the show. And he's talking about the 25-25 fiber off the story about the farmer. Remember, this farmer's out in the middle of the country, out in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, trying to get fiber. So I agree. It costs a lot. But if you lived out in nowhere, Nebraska, trying to get fiber to your house, you'd be willing to pay $46,000 for fiber too, even if it was only $25.25. So anyway, there's more stuff here. But thanks for your comments, Mike. And I know I paraphrased some of the stuff you even paraphrased. And that's it. That's going to bring us to the end. We are long today, as I expected. But thanks, everybody, for hanging out with me. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Thank you for supporting the GoDaddy this month. You guys are rocking it. Love you for making that happen. Because what happens is more people pick up services. The check gets a little bit bigger. So I can pay more bills and that kind of stuff. Do more things. So anyway, that's what that. So everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Those of you on Facebook, I'll be over there in a few minutes to check out what you guys had to say. But everyone, until next time, take care. We'll see you here on Geek News Central on Monday. If you want to hang out with me on Saturday in the New Media Show, you can do that too, 9 a.m. Pacific at newmediashow.com. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.